peace, that is a term that has been so elusive in our world, not just today, but for centuries past. I've often thought about the mantra that you would hear from just about every Miss America contestant over the years when they have their interviews, and they'll say, you know, what is one thing that you could hope for in this world? And just about every last one of them would say world peace. You know, you look at situations in the Middle East, it's been that way since back in Bible times where peace is not there. But that is something that each and every one of us desire. That is something that we look for, we look forward to. And when we get into certain circumstances and situations that are just volatile, they make our blood pressure go up, they destroy our health. It's just a place that we really don't want to be. So all of us are truly seeking peace, and the Word of God gives us some instruction on that as well. So grab your Bible. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Colossians chapter 3, and I titled our message today, or our Bible study today, Living in Peace. Grab that Bible, turn it to Colossians chapter 3. I'll see you in just a moment. Good day, folks. Welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust that God is blessing you in a great and wonderful way, and that you're taking the opportunities to be able to share with those around you the incredible things that God is doing in your life. A moment ago, I mentioned to you about the word peace, and the fact that that is something that has been sought after for not only years, but decades, and even a millennial, which is over 1,000 years. And that's something that we all strive for. That's something that we want to be able to live in as we go forward. So today, as we conclude our series on living a life that reflects the character of God, we're going to turn our attention to the vital theme of peace. Yeah, we're in a world filled with conflict and discord. I mean, that's just the way it is. You look around, you can turn the news on, you see it every day, you hear it, you see so many things that are taking place. The call to live in peace with one another is more critical than it has ever been. So today, we want to take some moments to explore how we can embody love, compassion, and humility in our relationships, which will foster harmony within our communities. Now, notice I said communities, not just one. Often during our Bible study, I will refer to community as the church, the church community. But there are a lot of communities that we function in. We function in the community of family. We function in the community of where we live, our neighborhoods. We function in the community of the workspace. So we certainly want to foster harmony in those environments in where we go. So today we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, specifically verses 12 through 15. So if you got your Bible, turn it over there, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today. Again, we're grateful and thankful for your word. We're thankful for the guidance that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Father, I know that for each and every one of us, we desire peace. We want peace in our personal hearts. We want peace within our families. We want peace within our neighborhoods and our communities. We want peace within our state. We want peace across our country. We want peace across the world. But Lord, I pray that you will help us truly to be instruments of bringing about peace in the hearts and lives of people and the places where we go. But Father, today, as we take this opportunity to look at what your word tells us, may we glean some insight. May the Holy Spirit teach and help each and every one of us to to see through a clearer lens what peace is really all about and how it can happen in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones around us. Lord, as always, I ask that you would use me as your messenger for the moment. Help me, Father, today as I lift you up to truly draw all people unto you. And Lord, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so as we look at this particular passage, as always, we like to try to put a little bit of context or a little bit of background to what's going on. Now, the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Colossian church, and he is addressing false teachings, and he is encouraging believers to live out their faith authentically. I love that word, authentically. You know, but really what you are, nothing added to it or taken away or anything of that nature, but live out your faith authentically. Now, in this passage, Paul emphasizes the importance of Christian virtues that promote unity and peace among believers. Now, he reminds them of their identity as God's chosen people, called to reflect his character in their interactions with one another. And I think that is critical. We are to emulate Jesus Christ in our lives. What is it? The term Christian actually means Christ-like. The idea is that we live a life so close to him. We live a life so close to this word that when people see us, they see him. And I know some of us probably just went, okay, well, that's impossible to do. it pretty much is. But the thing about it is, what is it that people see when they look at you? When they look at you, can they specifically identify the fact that you are a believer, that you are a Christian, that you have been born again? And the reason that I say that is because the Lord calls us out to be separate from the world. In other words, we're not to walk like the world walks. We're not to talk like the world talks. We're to maintain our Christian viewpoint, and we're supposed to live what is called a biblical worldview. In other words, the Bible and Christ are the lens through which we operate. Now, I love to use that term because that's the way it should be with Christians. Every one of us that are born again believers should have a biblical worldview or a Christian worldview, which means that everything that we do, everything that we say, all of our actions and all of our decisions should be based on what we know about the Lord and what we know about his word. This is the lens by which we make our decisions. This is the lens by which we gauge our morals. That's the word I was looking for, our morals. Everything should be wrapped around Scripture, okay? So each and every one of us, as God's chosen people, are called to reflect his character in our interactions with other people and wherever we go. So as we look at our text there in verses 12 and 13, Paul is instructing the Colossians to put on, notice that term, put on various virtues such as tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, as I just went over that list that's mentioned in the Word, where do you feel like you landed on that scale? You know, when you talk about tender mercies, are you a person who exuberates and communicates through tender mercies? Is that the way people see you? Kindness, that one's pretty easy. We understand that. Would people consider you to be a kind person? How about humility? You know, when people look at your life, do they see humility or do they see pride? You know, we know that the Lord is the one who humbled himself, and if we're supposed to be like him, we should put forth humility. What about meekness? How about long-suffering? Boy, I'll tell you one thing. When I see that term long-suffering, I think about the fact that in our society today, so many people have a hair trigger. Yeah, they are quick-tempered, and boy, they will just go off in a heartbeat. Are you long-suffering? In other words, are you patient? Are you patient with other people? Are you patient with circumstances as they go forward? You know, sometimes we'll sit back and tuck our chin to our chest because most of us can see that at least in this list, there are a few qualities that we need some help with, okay? So the qualities that we just mentioned, you know, the ones that lift up tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, these qualities They're essential for maintaining healthy relationships. Plain and simple. I mean, when you think about relationships that you have, whether they're friendships, whether they're, you know, romantic relationships, marriage relationships, whatever, if you don't have these qualities or you have opposites of these qualities, then what happens is I guarantee you that there's a strain in those relationships. So these qualities are essential. Essential means you got to have them for maintaining healthy relationships with people. And that it doesn't matter what kind of relationship it is, as far as whether it's a marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, whether it's a close brother, friend, sister, family, whatever. You have got to have these qualities to have a healthy relationship, regardless of which type it is. Okay. Now, the act of, as the word tells us, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, this highlights the reality that conflicts will arise. And I know that most of y'all are sitting back going, no, absolutely, conflicts arrive everywhere. I would be willing to say that conflicts arise daily at somewhere or at some point in your day, there's going to be a conflict, whether it's at work, whether it's in home, whether it's with family members, whether it's with neighbors, wherever it may be. Maybe it's the traffic on the road. There's going to be conflict along the way. So, you know, when we think about what we're told in the Bible, bearing with one another, I like that. That's in a good country term, that's putting up with one another. You know, understanding that not everybody's perfect, including yourself. And even though people don't do things like you, you know, there are times that we need to be patient. We need to act out of love rather than having that hair trigger that we talked about just a moment ago. So we think about bearing with one another. You understand what that means. We talk about forgiving one another. Well, sometimes we have difficulty when it comes down to the forgiving aspect of things. You know, I don't know why it is, but we sit back and at times we will think about what maybe somebody did, you know, to us or something that we didn't like. And we will actually be brazen enough to say, well, I'll tell you what, I could never forgive that person for what they did. Folks, that is a direct contradiction to what the Word of God says that Christians ought to do. I mean, that is just as blatant as it comes. Now, I've had people who've said that before. They've come back and said, well, you know what, I was just mad. I was just speaking in the moment. I didn't really mean that. Well, I can tell you this, at the time, they really did mean that. Now, there are others that I have dealt with that meant that from the moment they spoke it, and they still mean it to this day. They've had a tough, tough time. In fact, so tough a time that they have not forgiven those who have done something against them or those who have wronged them. So the act of bearing one another's burdens, the act of bearing with one another, the act of forgiving one another, man, this highlights the reality that conflict will arise, but our response should be rooted in Christ's forgiveness. Here we go with that biblical worldview thing again. You know, what is it that Christ says? What is it that Christ tells us? What is it that this passage tells us? The Lord doesn't suggest that we forgive folks. It's a commandment. It is a directive. And it says you need to forgive others, get this, as Christ has forgiven you. We'll touch on that a little bit more in just a moment. But verse 14 of our text, it elevates love as the ultimate virtue. We like to use those fancy words, virtues, okay? So verse 14 of our text elevates love as the ultimate virtue that is what I call the binding factor. Love is what holds it all together. Love is what not only keeps it together, but love is what creates a perfect harmony, okay? So now as we look at verse 15 in our text, Paul calls believers to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's emphasizing that peace is not merely the absence of conflict, but it's an active state of harmony that stems from our relationship with Christ. Did you get that? Let me give that to you one more time. You know, Paul is calling all the believers, and that includes you and I even today, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We can understand that. We can understand that thought. And by saying, this is what he means when he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. He is putting a great emphasis on the fact that peace, as we desired, as we seek it, isn't merely the absence of conflict in your life. You know, so in other words, many times people would sit back and say, well, if we just didn't have this conflict, things would be okay. Yeah, that goes back to that circumstantial faith that we have preached for weeks and years, okay? So it's not merely, peace is not merely the absence of conflict, but it's an active state of harmony that stems from our relationship with Christ, okay? So when we look at this from a theological perspective, the theological significance of this passage lies in its reflection of the nature of God, the character of God, who God is. What is it that we read in the Word of God that He says about Himself in regard to love? God is love. We've probably used that statement at some point along our lives, and we've said, God is love. Why have we said that? Because that's what the Word says. So God is love, and His desire is for His people to live in peace, reflecting His character in their lives. Did you get that? Remember, that's that Christian thing we talked about. Christian means being Christ-like. People are supposed to see it within us, Christ. They're supposed to see within us a reflection of the character of our Savior. Now, my question is simply this. Is that what they see when they look at you? Now, I know that I asked that to a fellow one time, and he said, well, he goes, some days are just better than others, and I understand that. It doesn't make us perfect, but we should live a life that emulates our Savior, and people should see within us those fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when people look at you, is that what they see? Because listen, if they see the qualities and characteristics of Christ, then we are emulating Him well. If they don't, then we are being a very, very poor reflection of believers in being Christians or being Christ-like, okay? The Word also tells us, and what we learn is that the call to forgive and to bear with one another mirrors the very grace that God extends to you and I. I've always liked that. This is probably one of the easiest ways when it comes down to looking at other people, judging other people, bearing with other people, loving other people. Yeah, you know, one of the greatest things that I can do in my life, this is what I've done for years and years and years, particularly if somebody has done something to me that has offended me or something, and inside my heart, I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to bear with them, as this passage tells us that we should do. I just want to cut them loose and kick them to the curb. But the Lord says, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. In fact, it is the Lord who said you are to love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully deceive you or come up against you. And when we think about that, you know, when we are able to accomplish extending God's grace and extending God's love to other folks, then they see Him in us rather than the worldly us, the old man that still resides within us, okay? Living in peace is not just a personal endeavor, okay? It's a communal responsibility. You know, there's a difference between an endeavor and a responsibility, but it's a communal responsibility that reflects the unity of the body of Christ. I mean, I know that each and every one of us, particularly if you are a member of a church or you attend church on a regular or frequent basis, you've looked around before and you've said, you know, well, that person's certainly not acting like a Christ-like person. They're certainly not representing Christ well. Yet you'll see people just go off on tangents. You'll hear words that you shouldn't hear from people who sit back and so how many times have I thought to myself, boy, we're certainly not reflecting Christ's love and who Christ is in us to those that we are coming in contact with. So we have to be very careful when it comes down to those particular areas. So, you know, peace isn't just a personal endeavor. It's a responsibility. And in taking up that responsibility, it will reflect the unity of the body of Christ. I'm speaking as the community, as a body of believers, okay? So as we think about these passages today, how does it sink in? You know, what is it that we can learn from our passages today that we can apply to our daily lives. How are we going to take today's scriptural teaching and apply it in our daily life? Well, first of all, we must consciously choose to embody the virtues that Paul described. We have to do it on purpose. I like to use that word purpose. That means that we have to be intentional about doing these things. So we have to make that conscious effort to choose to take these virtues mentioned and exercise them in our daily lives, the ones that Paul described in our passage. Now, this means being kind. This means being compassionate, especially in moments of disagreement. Okay, man, so there goes that hair trigger again. Sometimes when people disagree with us, we just go off, man. We're too busy trying to prove our point or what have you. And we don't often do that in a kind and a compassionate way. So as the Holy Spirit directs you, before you get ready to, show a side of you that is not a godly side of you, think about these things. Think about these scriptures. The Holy Spirit's going to bring them to your mind. Am I being kind and compassionate about how I'm getting ready to approach this person or this conversation, particularly in moments of disagreement? Okay? It requires humility to recognize our own faults and the grace to forgive others as God has forgiven us. You notice I said there's two things that are required. Humility to recognize our own faults. I love the premise of Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, where it talks about a judgment. But the one thing that I love in there, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, in those first several verses, he goes on and he says this, and this is Roy's paraphrase. He says, if you will spend time cleaning up your own backyard, you won't have time to try to clean up somebody else's backyard. Okay? He says, how is it that you can call out the splinter that's in your brother's eye when there's a timber that is in your own? But you know what? We're real good about doing that. And how often do we forget how God has forgiven us? How often do we forget what God has forgiven us from? I've said this many, many times. I've said this to our church, and I've said this to our viewing family as well. I will promise you that each and every one of you has a place, a little closet in your life that it scares you to death that if that old skeleton fell out and other people found out about it, it would be a colossal embarrassment to you. It would be something that would change your life in many, many ways. And it's not about dragging that stuff out. Now, obviously, you need to carry that before the Lord. Now, I'm saying that right now because if you carry it before the Lord, it's not hiding out in an old closet over there, okay? But what happens is too often we will stand in the place of judgment or sit in the seat of judgment against other people when we don't reflect on our own lives. Yeah, and sometimes we will withhold forgiveness or we will withhold kindness and grace and humility from somebody else when there are things in our lives that we have done that we wished that people would have been kind to us, or we certainly would want them to be. What is it, the old golden rule? It comes from a biblical passage. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat other people in the manner that you would like for them to treat you. And as I think about that and I see how people treat each other, particularly in this year of 2026, it's daunting. It really is. So to be able to be what the Lord wants us to be, it requires humility. It requires us to recognize that we have faults as well. Because when we do so, we're quicker to extend grace to forgive other people in the same manner in which Christ has forgiven us. See, we can practice these things by actively listening to one another. Did you hear what I said? Actively listening to one another. I'm not just sitting there saying, have your mind somewhere else and be going, No, actively listening to what people have to say and seeking to understand different perspectives while responding with love rather than defensiveness, okay? See, that's called having a conversation, and boy, what a blessing that really is. Additionally, we should create environments in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our churches, where peace is prioritized, okay? This can be achieved through open communication. It can be achieved through conflict resolution. and a commitment to praying for one another. Listen, it is hard to down somebody and pray for them at the same time. I met somebody who said they were an expert at doing that. And yeah, they were an expert. They said, well, I pray all the time. You know, I pray that a piano will fall on them. I pray they'll trip on the crack in the sidewalk. That's not what we're talking about. Every one of us know that, including the lady that I was speaking with years ago. But this can be achieved. We have to have open communication. You need to be able to have conversations with people, even people that you don't agree with. And you still need to be able to walk away. Even if you still don't agree after conversation, then be able to walk away with the attitude of being able to agree to disagree on some things. Now, biblically, you know, we need to be able to have cohesiveness when it comes down to biblical things. I call these essentials. We need to have a unity in our essentials around the Word of God, but we also need to have diversity about things that aren't necessarily the will of God, but yet things that that we might prefer. Okay, so in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, we need to be able to have some diversity, and that's okay, as long as we're not violating what the Scriptures tell us that we should do. So, as we conclude our series, yes, this is the last message in our series today. So, as we conclude this series on living a life that reflects Christ, how about we commit to a lifestyle of peace? May we be known as people who embody love, compassion, and humility. How about we allow the peace of God truly to rule in our hearts, and this will foster unity and harmony in every relationship that we have. Would you join me as we do that? Let me close this in a word of prayer, and then what I'll do is I'll tell you about a new series that we're actually going to be starting next week. But let's look to the Lord in prayer as we close our time today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your peace that truly does surpass all understanding. Lord, help us to live in a way that reflects your love and grace to those that are around us. Lord, I pray that you will teach us to bear with one another. Lord, to forgive as you have forgiven us, and to be peacemakers in our communities. And Lord, may our lives be a testament to your character. As Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Hey folks, again, we thank you for joining us for our Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Let me tell you a little bit about what we've got going on beginning next week. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series, and I've titled that series Kingdom Culture. Once again, Kingdom Culture. We're talking about resisting the world's pull. The world is trying to pull us in as believers. So we need to be equipped to turn the world upside down with love and with truth, okay? So next week, through this week, spend some time in John's Gospel chapter 8. That's John's Gospel chapter 8. And next week, we will look at the first message in our series called the Foundation of Truth. And we'll get that from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We're going to explore the importance of grounding our values in the truth of God's Word. That's what we've got to do. And we're going to contrast that with the shifting sands of cultural norms. How is it that with the world we have to live in, is it conflicting with God's Word? What do we do when those things begin to happen to us? So that's where we will be as we'll start our series for next week, Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. Thank you so much for joining us over our previous series that we just finished called Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. And I trust and pray that along the way you were able to find exactly that, peace in the storm, because man, turmoil happens, doesn't it? All right, folks, listen, thank you. Thank you.